What a joy it is to be at Alabaster Church of God this morning. Amen. I know that you will miss your pastor's preaching this morning. Brother Stroop does a wonderful job of preaching, and I know you'll miss him. But I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad that he called and asked me if I would fill in. I heard about a preacher that had a pastor that had to be out of town, and he had a fill-in. And when they introduced the speaker as a fill-in, little boy looked at his dad and he said, "Daddy, what's a fill-in?" He said, "Well, it's just a temporary replacement." He said, "You remember when you hit the baseball and broke the window pane out?" And he said, "We temporarily had to put a cardboard in the window until we could get a new pane." He said, "Oh, I remember." After the service was over that morning, the little boy went up to the speaker and he said, "I was glad to hear you. You was a real pain." So I hope I'm not a real pain this morning. It is a joy to be here this morning. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 11. And as I read this, you may, and go into the message, you may wonder, well, what does that scripture have to do with the message? Well, just stay with me this morning. I promise you I'm not real long-winded. Folks that were here when I was here know that I've never preached past a Sunday morning, past 1 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And I don't intend to start now, Brother Jim. Amen. So, if you will, and I think maybe they are going to put it on the board this morning, but I want you to notice the setting of this scripture. It says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went to a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people." Father, I ask you once again to touch these lips of clay and help me to speak clearly and distinctly the words of the message this morning. Then, Father, I pray also that you would touch and anoint the ear of the hearer, for your word declares to us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I pray as the word of God goes forth this morning that it will fall on ears of faith, and every person in this house will be able to receive from you their needs today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for just a brief while on the subject deliverance. Deliverance. How to get it and how to keep it. It's one thing to get delivered of a situation, but it's another thing to stay delivered. How many of you understand what I'm talking about this morning? You see, most of us at one time or another have been delivered from something. It may have been fear. It may have been paranoia. It could have been insecurity or worry or anxiety, or maybe a habit like drugs or tobacco or, any of these things, alcohol. Amen. The problem with a lot of people, or some people, however, is being able to stay delivered from these particular situations. You see, the devil does not want you to be free. He does not want you to have peace of mind. He wants to keep you bound down with something to plague your mind every hour of every day. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? Well, I hope to be able to tell you this morning how to get delivered from your problem and how to stay delivered from your problem. Now, in the passage of Scripture that I just read to you this morning, Jesus had come from his headquarters in the city of Capernaum, and he was going to the city of Nain. About 10 minutes outside the city was a cemetery. Jesus had already went by the cemetery and was approaching the gates of the city. And I want you to notice the two crowds that are come together here. First of all, there's the crowd with Jesus. Then secondly, there's the crowd headed for the cemetery. One crowd is filled with joy. The other crowd is filled with grief. One crowd is excited. The other crowd is sorrowful. One crowd has much to look forward to. The other crowd has nothing to look forward to. Notice they met at the gate of the city. The woman was coming out with her funeral procession. Jesus was about to go in. Somebody said, well, what's the significance here, Brother Massey? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, you've heard it many times before. It is so simple. He may not be there when you need him, but he'll always get there in time. Does anybody believe that? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house. Amen. He may not meet you at home. He may not meet you in the city. But before you can get outside the gates of the city, oh, that makes me want to shout a little bit this morning. He'll always be there. Somebody praise him in the house. He will walk inside about the time you're about to walk outside. Oh, now it's important for you to understand why Jesus did what he did. He walked over to that casket, and or that bier they called him, and he laid his hands on that boy in that casket. Now you need to understand that there are several no-nos under the Jewish law that was given by Moses. Number one, never touch a person with leprosy. Number two, never allow a woman with a running issue of blood to touch your garments. And number three, never touch a dead body. The only people that were privileged to touch a dead body was the pallbearers. And so we find that Jesus was constantly breaking tradition. I mean, aren't you glad this morning that Jesus would break tradition to meet whatever need you have in this house? Hallelujah. How many of you know that he was always doing that? He touched a man that had leprosy. He allowed a woman with an issue of blood to touch his garments. And the thing that excites me is that he didn't go out and burn those garments after that. Hallelujah. And I want you to tell you this morning that he was stopping a funeral and reaching in a casket and touching a dead boy. And he said to that dead boy, young man, arise. Now the spirit of that young man was somewhere out in the heart of the earth. And when Jesus spoke, he summoned that spirit back. When Jesus touched that young man and said to him, young man, arise, the pallbearers just froze in their tracks. Now, if you read the four Gospels, you will notice that 90% of the people that Jesus healed or Jesus delivered were people that sought him, people that were looking for him, amen, people that needed something. But there were a few occasions when that didn't happen. There were just a few occasions when Jesus just happened to be there and met the need of the people that were there. I like that. Hallelujah. What do you mean, Brother Massey? I want to tell you this morning, we have no record of what this woman ever asked Jesus for anything. She never sent for Jesus to come and heal her son. She never went to Jesus and asked him to heal her son. As a matter of fact, she was doing the normal thing. Her boy had died. She was taking him to the cemetery. She was going to bury him, and that would be the end of it. Well, Brother Massey, why did Jesus do what he did for this woman? I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, she just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Turn to somebody and say, you're in the right place, and it's the right time. Now, I don't say that because Melvin Mass is here. I say that because Jesus is in the house. And can I tell you this morning that anywhere Jesus is the right place at the right time? I said anywhere Jesus is the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. You may not fully understand why you're at the Alabaster Church of God today, but I do. God ordained for you to be here this morning. Amen. Just like God ordained for me to be here. Now, I had planned to be here, but not up here. Amen. Until Pastor Stroop called and asked me if I would fill in for him this morning. Amen. And so God works in mysterious ways. Amen. The reason why you're here is because God ordained for you to be in this house this morning, because I believe that God has something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Ghost is in the house. I said, I believe the Holy Ghost is in the house. Reason number two is because Jesus said, I come not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. You see, Jesus made it very clear that all he could do was what he saw the Father do. I'm convinced that this woman and her son were marked for a miracle. Now, I don't fully understand it, but I believe that sometime people walk through the doors of this church and God has marked them for a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. But not knowing who's going to be behind this pulpit. God always knows who's going to be behind this pulpit. Amen. But people that come through the door of this church, if they're strangers and visitors or whatever, they don't know who's going to be behind the pulpit. Amen. And even sometimes, if you're a local tender member, you don't know for sure that pastor's going to be here. Some of you may not have known that this morning. But God has a divine plan, and God has marked some people for miracles. I believe there's somebody in this house today that God has marked for a miracle. You say, Brother Massey, that's a lot of boasting. I'm boasting in Jesus this morning. I said, I'm boasting in Jesus this morning. Amen. Do you think this woman had any idea what was going to happen on her way to the cemetery? Amen. Do you think she had the slightest thought that before I get to the cemetery, something's going to happen and my boy's going to come up out of that casket? Not on your life did she know that. So let me emphasize to you one more time that anywhere Jesus is the right place and the right time. If somebody would give him a hand clap of praise in this house today, amen, I believe that victory comes on the wings of praise. Now, let's bring it down to our level this morning. And I want to try to hurry to get through here this morning. I don't want to be here a long time in the pulpit because I want to have a few minutes around the altar this morning. So let's bring it down to our level. How does a person obtain deliverance or victory or healing from Christ? First of all, let me tell you the don'ts. You do know there are some do's and some don'ts. Amen. I believe the number one thing that keeps people from receiving from the Lord is man-made traditions, man-made ideas, preconceived ideas. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. So many times we hang on to the tradition that keeps us from receiving what God wants to do for us. Now let me say it this way. You have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired before God can do anything for you. If you're satisfied, if you're content with status quo, there is no way God can help you. You got to be sick and tired of being in the condition you're in before you can get out of that condition. Anybody here ever heard the story of Pharaoh and the frogs? Anybody ever heard that story? When God sent Moses to Egypt to deliver his people, he allowed different plagues to come into the land of Egypt. One of those plagues was frogs. Frogs covered the land. I mean, they were in the yard. They were on the porch. You open the door, they're in the house. You go to the closet, out hops frogs. You open the oven door, out hops frogs. You go to the bed chamber, roll back the cover, out hops frogs. I mean, frogs covered the land everywhere. And Pharaoh got sick and tired of frogs. So he called Moses and he said, Moses, entreat the Lord for me that he will take away these frogs from before me. That excited Moses. He said, glory over me. When shall I entreat the Lord for you to take away the frogs from before you? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. You've heard it. Give me one more night with the stinking frogs. Amen. And it seems to me that some people just want to spend one more day in their condition. Hello? I don't want to be mean this morning. I didn't come here to be mean this morning. Amen. Some people are just so used to being in the condition they're in, they've accepted as final. Well, I guess this is just God's will for my life. Well, I guess I'm just like Job. Job had a rough time. But you know, it only lasted 6 months. Amen. And it was over with. Hear me. God never delivers a person against their will. If you've accepted your condition as a way of life, God is not going to override your faith. You need, first of all, to convince yourself that you don't have to live with that condition. Well, Brother Massey, how do I do it? I just came by this morning to tell you that, first of all, you got to get in the book. I said, do you hear me? You got to get in the book. You need to read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, that says, surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow. I've heard people say, well, God just put this on me because he's trying to teach me something. Anybody in this house that would give your children a heart disease or cancer just to teach them something? Not a person here would do that. Honey, God don't do that to his children either. Do you hear me? Amen. And then one person said, God made me sick so I could go to the hospital and witness. That's an expensive way to witness. Hello. All you have to do is read Acts 1 and 8 and do what Acts 1 8 says. Amen. Jesus said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. God wants you to witness, and he doesn't want to send you to the hospital just to get you to witness. And then some say, well, God just put this affliction on me to keep me humble. Well, okay, if that's the way you feel about it, but why do you go to doctor after doctor after doctor to try to get rid of it? Now listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to get a message to you this morning. Amen. I want you to understand that God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for your deliverance. I like what he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, because the devil sinneth from the beginning. But listen, for this purpose was the Son of Man come so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. I'm glad to tell you this morning that he's been defeated by the Son of God. He has been overcome by the Son of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in the house. I like Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He says, if we will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I put upon the Egyptians. Amen. And now go with me real quick to the book of James, chapter 5. Verse 13 says, is any afflicted? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That's not song, S-O-N-G, it's psalms. P-S-A-L-M-S. Oh, sometimes, you know, sometimes I can't sing a lick. And those of you who were here when I pastored know I can't sing a lick. But sometimes I try. Amen. But sometimes just in my own place, I start singing, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 14, is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. confess your faults, verse 16 says, one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. Amen. Did you notice it says, and pray one for another that you may be healed? Sounds to me like Paul is saying that while you're praying for someone else, that you yourself will be healed by the power of God. Do you really believe that, Brother Massey? Well, it seemed to work for Job. Notice these words in Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he had prayed for his friends also. I like that. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Could I tell you that when God comes on the scene, he don't just do what you need, he does much more than what you need. That's why Paul said he's able to do it exceeding abundantly and above all that we ask or think. I'm telling you this morning that God is here in this house to touch and minister to somebody. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that sometimes deliverance comes through blessing and praising the Lord? Amen. I like Psalms 103. It's one of my favorite passages of scriptures. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hallelujah. He forgives all our iniquities, and he heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction, and he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he satisfieth the mouth with good things. Everybody say good things. Hallelujah. Not only do we need to get in the book, we need to get into Jesus. Amen. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, says of Jesus, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And we find that same verse of scripture almost identical in the book of Psalms chapter 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And then verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will. Will, oh God. Hallelujah. And what is that will? Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the reason why God anointed him, amen, is to preach the gospel and to deliver people that needed to be delivered. And I believe he's in this house to deliver somebody today. This watch was running crazy. So let me hurry. Isaiah said that his name shall be called Wonderful. The name Wonderful in the original Hebrew means miracle. His name shall be called Miracle. Everything about him was a miracle. His conception was a miracle. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. His birth was a miracle. Did you know that the birth of Jesus is the only birth that they set time by? Before his birth, it was B.C. After his birth, it was A.D. And we've lived by that all of these years. Amen. Not only that, his ministry, his baptism, his wilderness experience, even in the synagogue, everything was a miracle. As a matter of fact, Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Everybody say deliverance. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Hallelujah. I wanted you to know his death was a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. His ascension was a miracle. And one of these days he's going to come back on the clouds of glory, and it's going to be another miracle. Let me tell you something about him. He is a deliverer. He can do it. It doesn't matter when you need it. Before you get the problem, in the middle of your problem, after you've had the problem, he is still a deliverer. Amen. Jesus healed a critically ill child before it died. And then he healed Jairus' daughter right after she died. And then he healed Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead 4 days and stinking. I said, he can do it any time. Are you hearing me? I said, he can do it any time. It doesn't matter what stage you're in. He could have delivered the Hebrew boys from going into the furnace, but he got more glory out of walking in the furnace with them. He could have delivered Daniel from the lion's den, but he decided just to spend the night with him in the den. Amen. I want to tell you that he could have healed Lazarus before he died, but he received more glory by waiting until he was dead for 4 days. I want to tell you this morning, I don't care how long you've had the problem, you may have just got it. Amen. As a matter of fact, you may be looking for something to come because of the way circumstances are. It doesn't matter. You may have had it for a long time. I just want to tell you, he's in the house today, and whatever you need, he's able. But we think if he doesn't come at a certain time, that he's not coming at all. But he's never been late. He's always on time. He works on schedule. Not our schedule, but his schedule. You've heard that old song. It's been very popular for many years. Said the news came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick. Without your help, he will not last. Think about it. The death watch was over. Buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here. The Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you would have been here, you could have healed him. He would not have died. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long, but his way is God's way, not yours or mine. And isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. He's on time for somebody here today. You say, Brother Massey, you're talking mighty bold this morning. I'm talking in the name of Jesus. Too many times we give up before God finishes the work. I don't know. You may have heard the story about the lady who was dying with cancer. She decided that she was going to sit down and write every scripture out of the Bible on healing. And she was going to record them on her tape recorder. And every 4 hours, she was going to play and listen to those scriptures. She did that for 4 weeks. She went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, the diagnosis is not good. You're worse than you've ever been. You're not going to live much longer. Now, that's where most of us would have quit. We would have thrown in the towel. Amen. But she went back home. She said, I'm going to play them every 2 hours. And she started playing them every 2 hours. She would listen to those scriptures play over and over and over. And after 6 weeks, she was in the sixth week. And her condition was so severe that she could hardly move. But one night, in the middle of that sixth week, God reached down and touched her. Healed her body completely. Does that bother you this morning? Amen. Does that excite you this morning? I'm telling you that don't give up on God. Amen. I said, don't give up on God. You've got to believe what the book said. Amen. And this is what Proverbs said, my son, attain unto my words. Don't let them depart from your hearing, for my words shall be health to all your flesh. The word health in the Greek means medicine. The word of God is your medicine today. Hallelujah. So, Brother Massey, how do we get deliverance from our situation? Listen to what Psalms 50:14-15 says. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That verse not only tells us how to get deliverance, but it tells us how to keep it. Amen. Do what God tells us to do. Be obedient to Him, and don't let the word leave us, and we will be delivered. And we can stay delivered. Will you stand with me this morning?